Okay, the scripture reading this morning is the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we begin reading with verse 25. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Father in heaven, we have opened up your word. We have been singing about your love. We thank you again. We've been singing about how you know us personally. You know our names. You know us intimately. You know us better than we know ourselves. And again, we thank you and we recognize that. But Lord, you are an intimate God who speaks. You have a voice. This is your word. And Lord, not by the might or power of any human being, but we ask you, Holy Spirit, through your word, come and speak to each heart. In the name above all names, we ask this, and for his sake, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If you were to walk into a group of people and there is one person carrying on the conversation, he is speaking, and just as you walk into the group, you hear him say, "Therefore," you would immediately come to a conclusion. You would immediately gather something. And that something is, you know what? He has said something before this. And what I'm getting in on only a part of this. He's now going to tell us something that is a result of what he has already said that I missed just because I walked into the group. Whenever you hear someone say, "therefore," you know what follows. And we don't think about this. This is just our culture. We grew up in the English language. And immediately we hear, "therefore," we think, okay, now comes a result of, a conclusion. Notice our scripture today. Verse 25, "therefore, I tell you not to be anxious." Now, many times, and it's just a natural thing to do, we take the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. One of his first, it's an early part of his ministry. We've already established that he is the king, and those who are coming to him and believing in him as the king, and Jesus is telling them about his kingdom, and if you enter into my kingdom, what you are going to be like and how you are going to act. And this has been going on now since the fifth chapter, and we're now at the end of the sixth chapter. So he's been preaching quite a while. We sometimes just jump in and we say, okay, now today he's going to teach us a lesson about not being anxious. But the fact is, this is a continual lesson. And Jesus begins this part with, "therefore." We need to pay attention to what he has said. You see, "therefore" is referring to what Eric taught us last week. Don't you put number one in your life, money and possessions. You put Jesus Christ first. Therefore, when you put Christ first, you don't need to be anxious. Before that, Eric taught us the week before that on fasting. It has something to do with ours today. When you fast, you get rid of the clutter in your life and you realize what is really important, and therefore, you're no longer anxious. It goes back even further than that. It goes back to even the beginning in the sixth chapter here when Jesus was teaching us how to pray. How did he teach us to pray? To start out with, the key is, my Father. When I pray, I'm talking to my dad, my loving heavenly Father, my perfect heavenly Father. Therefore, my Father, what do I have to worry about? Today we look again to the sixth chapter, the sixth verse. Our Father who art in heaven, those who enter into the kingdom of God are no longer separated from their heavenly Father because they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And just what we have been singing, and I do thank our brother Luke. We sing wonderful messages even if nobody ever even got up and taught the word. You've been taught the word. You've been singing the word. And our songs today have made this so very clear. Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, we put faith in Jesus. And the Lord takes our sin away. And we can now come to God and say, my Father, Abba, Father. And we were singing that just a few moments ago. And it's not just words out of our mouth. It is from our heart. And it is not just words. It is the truth that is being conformed into words. But it is a spiritual truth. He is our Father. Now, my Father, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. So my Father is the king, and not only is he the king, he's the king of kings, and not only is he the king of kings, he's the king of kings forever throughout all eternity. And I'm a child of the king. Jesus has taught us this. He has used the word Father repeatedly in chapter 6. Even before he started the Lord's Prayer, he was speaking to us. Now, your Father, you don't need to go out and pray in public and show off. You go in your closet, your Father who sees in secret will reward you and answer you. And all through this, he's been speaking of the Lord God Almighty and reminding them, now as you enter into the kingdom through me, you have a Father, a heavenly Father. And since he's your Father, you don't need to be anxious. He has shown you his love. He has given you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has so loved you that for God so loved the world. Your Father so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He has demonstrated his love for you. So don't be anxious. Don't worry. 6:11, Jesus said, ask daily for your bread. Give us this day our daily bread, he taught us to pray. That's our physical needs. And God knows our physical needs even more than we know our physical needs. But he says, ask. It's a good reminder, Steve. You need to remember who is the giver of every good and perfect gift in your life. And when I ask the Lord for my daily bread and I ask him for my physical needs, it's a reminder saying to him, Father, I know that everything good that I have in my life is from you. Spiritually, but physically, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, all that is precious in life, thank you, Father, it is from you. And our Heavenly Father loves for us to look to him. Do you know that? I mean, he loves it when you pray and ask for your daily bread. He's not up there saying, oh, it's you again bothering me. Okay, there's a loaf. I mean, that's sometimes our attitude we get sometimes. No. You know what? We dads, we earthly fathers, we just love it when our kids come and they have needs and we can meet their needs. We love it when they get kind of scared. I mean, why do we take them to those scary places? We love it when they get scared and they say, oh, Dad, and they grab our leg or take our hand. Hey, it makes us feel like a million bucks inside. Yeah, we kind of cover it up like we don't care, but we love it. It's the good stuff in life. I love it now that I got grandkids again. You know, Noah wants to take my hand. I love to feel his hand in mine. I love it when Emily puts her hands up and she wants Grandpa. In fact, when I was working on this week, I thought, Ben, you got it made. You really planned life out. You know why? Because now that Jordan is old, he doesn't want to take your hand unless he wants to arm wrestle. And you don't need throne. You don't need throne, Ben. Okay, so he's old. You don't get that anymore. But you got him all spaced down. And by the time Kennedy no longer wants to take your hand, Jordan will have two or three kids. And you'll get to start with grandkids. You really thought this baby out, Ben. My hat's off to you. If an earthly father enjoys so much being able to meet the need of their sons and daughters, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father enjoys for us to come and say, Lord, I need my daily bread? And how much do you think it grieves Him when we say, Lord, I need my daily bread, but I really doubt if you're going to give it to me? And that's exactly what we do when we fret and stew. Oh, how an earthly father doesn't feel very good when his child is scared, but instead of coming to him, oh, Dad, you can't help me out, and runs on. We feel so inadequate. Every time as we worry and we fret, we're saying, you know, Father, I'm asking you. But when we worry and fret, we're either saying, but Father, I don't think you're really a good father and you're going to give me what I need, or we're saying, you may be a good father, but you don't have the power to deliver. That is what we say, not with our words, but with our lives. When we are anxious, when we are worried, when we stew, when we are fret, when we run around like a chicken with its head cut off. Anybody know that expression except me? Is that just a northern Mercer County? Oh no, it must be in the southern part of county too. That is exactly what we are saying to our Heavenly Father. Think how that feels to an earthly father. Think how it feels to Him. He has told us, do not be anxious, but instead choose Christ. Last week, verse 24, no one can serve two servants, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. One has to take precedence. One has to be, I serve you above all. And when it's Jesus Christ, when it's really Jesus Christ, we won't be anxious. And if we are anxious, that ought to be a light bulb going off and saying, hey, what, Steve? I don't care what you say. I don't care what you preach. The truth is here. You are anxious. You are not putting Christ first. It is truly amazing. If you want to be a worry wart, just grab a hold of a lot of possessions. John D. Rockefeller was dead serious when he was asked, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. I doubt if there's very few of it here, not along with me, if we would think about it, have seen rich people. And I know by the standards of the world, we're all rich. But then among us, usually if you have over a million, you're beginning to consider fairly rich. And when you get to be a multimillionaire, we most of the time in our community, and we have them, consider them pretty rich. People with a lot of possessions, people with money in four or five banks because they're afraid that one will go under. People who have, besides all of that, possessions and money in four or five banks, They stash money at home. And you think that brings them peace? Some of them are crippled. I've seen it. And so have you. They're crippled with worry. They're not crippled physically, they're crippled mentally and emotionally. And you say, what would help them? Give them another $1 million. It would not help them. It would make them worse, because then they would have more money to worry about that they're going to lose in the market. There are people who watch that market all day long. It makes them happy or grieve. I mean, their life is attached. Jesus said, you got to put me first. Therefore, I tell you, because your Father is your heavenly Father and you've now entered into the kingdom of God, because you've asked and He loves to give, ask and it shall be given unto you, because you have placed me first in your life and because you serve me, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Do not worry. Now listen, this is a command to me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ telling me not to be anxious, no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's not a suggestion. It is a command. For me to worry, for me to be anxious is the opposite side of the coin for me to have faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, Steve, there is no way without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I cannot be anxious on one side and still have faith. For this anxiousness is the opposite of faith. I have chosen not to put my faith in my Heavenly Father and that His promises that if I ask, I will receive. Instead, I have taken it and I have said, I don't think either He's good or He cares or He's going to come through or He's able to. And therefore, I have grown in this anxiousness and become worried. There is the sin of unbelief. And it is a serious sin, as all sin is serious. If you don't think so, go out to the Old Testament again and read about the children of Israel as God has led them out of Egypt and out of bondage, out of slavery, and that they're on the edge of the promised land. And the spies come back and they give the report. They're giants. They're really big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But Caleb says, that's okay. God's on our side. Let's go take them. Joshua is with him. Faith, and they're the only two who will get to enter the promised land 40 years later. What about all of those with the sin and unbelief? In the next 40 years, all 20 years and older, all of military age that should have had faith and said, but God is on our side and we will take the promise. They all die in the wilderness, the sin of unbelief. What do you suppose we have missed in life because of the sin of unbelief? Because I chose to be worried and anxious instead of having faith. I don't know. And I know the Lord doesn't want me to stand up here and look back, but He does want to remind me, Steve, what I give you in the future, if you don't want to miss out, then learn from your past mistakes and don't choose anxiousness. Choose to have faith in me and go forward. Jesus isn't teaching anything new here. As we reach verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, because of all that I've been teaching you thus far on the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And what he does now, it's in addition. Look, I'm going to give you some reminders, and he gives us some examples. Verse 26, he says, take a look at the birds. Who doesn't know about birds? There's birds flying around right there as they're listening to the Sermon on the Mount. They've grown up with the ravens. And they know how those ravens, they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't build barns and store up their food on the winter, but they're fed. They're taken care of. Then he says, your father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? The answer to that is yes. And every one of you sitting here, doesn't matter whether you're old or young, male or female, does not matter where you come from. Every one of us has this in common. We were created in the image of God. That's how he made us. The birds weren't created in his image. He created them. His creation is all good. The birds are good, the way he feeds them. But he created you with a soul. He created you with the spirit so that your spirit and his spirit can have communion. You were created in the image of God. How precious you are in his sight, so that you could worship him and he could bless you, not only now, but throughout all eternity. Now look what he does for birds. You think he's not mindful of you? You think there's ever a moment that you are not out of his thoughts? You think there's ever a moment that his love is not continually towards you? If he gave his only begotten son, we're told in Romans, how much more will he surely not give you all good things? Romans 10:17. He's demonstrated it. It's up for us now to choose to take it and believe it. Not in our heads and say, oh yeah, that's right. But to believe it and grasp it with our hearts by faith. Yeah, this is true. I must choose faith. I've got to stop sinning this sin of unbelief, this anxiousness. It's not a small thing. He goes on, number two. He says, how about your health? Verse 27. You want to improve your health? You think worrying is going to do it? How much of you can even, with all your worrying and stewing, do you think you could add one more hour to your life? No, then why do you do it? In fact, you take hours away. I'm not going into a lot of that today, but isn't it interesting? All this scientist, I just love the scientists. I think they're a joke. They do all these studies, and finally their studies say, oh, it's conclusive now. You know, worry is bad for your health. It can affect you physically. It can affect you mentally and all this. And when they get their data together, it's like they're announcing, this is now truth. You know what? Our grandparents and our great-grandparents knew it long before those guys. That's why you grew up with the expression, I'm worried sick about it. Where do you think that stuff comes from? Oh, my kid's going to worry me to death. Where do you think that came from? A mom or a dad, yeah, who had kids. We know this. Worry makes people sick in the head, in their mind, in their emotions, in their body. But you know what else? Worry makes you spiritually sick. Remember what Jesus taught us in the parable of the soil, Matthew 13? The seed that falls among the thorns and the worries of this world and the cares and the possessions choke it out spiritually. Worry will kill you. Spiritually, make you sick spiritually. Number three, clothing, verse 28. Why are you worried about your clothes? Take a look at the lilies. Even Solomon and all of his money couldn't produce anything that pretty. And how about the fields? Isn't it neat how God clothed them with grass so there's no erosion? Now, granted, we come along and mess that up, but God didn't. He had it all planned out. And if he clothed the fields with grass, how much more is he not going to take care of you? And then comes this charge. Oh, you of little faith. And that ought to really get to our hearts. Jesus has done all of this for us. And then he has to look at us and can he say, thank you for believing in me. You are pleasing me. You have faith. Or is he looking at us and having to say grievously, Oh, you of little faith. I'll tell you why it's a big deal. It's even bigger than you, and whether you're sick with worry or whether you're faith and moving forward, it's about salt and it's about light. People who are fretting and stewing, they don't have light. And you put all those people together and all those fretters and stewers and steward, and they're feeding on each other. You know what that produces? Dimness, darkness. There's no light. People are looking for light today. Jesus Christ has said, I'm the light of the world. And I have put my light in you, and you are to be a different people. When you are in the kingdom, the world, yes, will be anxious, and they ought to be. I'll tell you what, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you better be worried. That's just smart. You better be concerned about eternity and be figuring out the way to your Heavenly Father. The world is always going to be anxious, and the more possessions it gets, the more anxious it will become. But we are to be a different people who have entered into the kingdom. We don't serve them now. We serve Jesus. And when we really do, and we have faith and peace instead of anxiety and worry, that's light. That's light people are going to see. And they're going to want to know, what is it with you? If I mention the name John Wesley, I think most of you will know, I think he was a religious guy or a preacher or something, wasn't he? Yeah. And today, many denominations trace a good deal of their statement of faith and theology back to him. John Wesley had even come over here to the United States from England to be a missionary and tried it and wasn't successful, but oh, how he tried. You just couldn't get more religious than a John Wesley. I mean, he practiced all kinds of spiritual disciplines and he really, really wanted to be a Christian. But he came over here to be a missionary and he flopped, and he's on a boat on the way back to England, and the boat gets into a really bad storm. And I mean a bad one where, you know, the ship is creaking and they're not sure whether it's going to hold together. And he's worried and fretting. And there's a group of people called Moravians. Now, what they're called doesn't matter. What does matter is they know Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. They love Jesus. And while others are fretting and stewing, and John Wesley is among them, they're worshiping on this boat that could crack up any minute, and they're singing and they're praying, but not crying out to the Lord, oh, woe is us, save us. They're joyously worshiping and praising God. And John Wesley figured out, you know, I think they got something that I don't have. That, my brothers and sisters, is light. When the boat is cracking up, and instead of wringing our hands, we are praising the Lord and giving thanks. And by the way, okay, yeah, he did. John Wesley's a good guy. He did find Jesus, but it was largely through the Moravians. In case you thought he discovered Christianity, he didn't. The Believer's Church goes all the way back to Jesus and his disciples. Now, we know we walk out of here and we're supposed to be salt. We know we're not supposed to worry. Instead, we're supposed to have faith. So what do you do? Do you just kind of say, I'm going to grit my teeth harder and I'm not going to worry if it kills me? No. Or you say, well, I'll just make another decision, or I'll just say, Lord, help me. There's more to it than that. Application today. Scripture is very clear on helping us to turn away from worry into having faith. Number one, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving. And that is so critical to constantly remind ourselves what God has really given to us and what is really important, the blessings that we have in our life. But along with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus in peace instead of fretting and stewing. Now, let's be careful here. As Christians, we are not to worry. That does not mean that we are not to be concerned. It does not mean that we are not to have compassion. We're not to be cold fish. Jesus wasn't a cold fish. Jesus is a man of compassion. He is moved in his innermost being sometimes that he looks at the crowd. When he goes to Martha and Mary after Lazarus has died, he's not fretting and stewing, but he cries. His heart is full of compassion. But what God is saying, when the Spirit of God moves us with concern, and we should be concerned, and compassion, he says, don't worry. Instead, take it to prayer. No wonder the Scripture says to be constantly in prayer. Pray without ceasing. A concern comes to your heart about yourself, about your child, about someone who has lost a loved one, about the Frank family. You know what? All your worrying and stewing will not help the Frank family, but if you will constantly, every time they come to your mind today, take them to the throne of grace and God, bring healing to their brokenness. Use this to bring glory to you. That works. So when my concerns come to me, instead of letting them go into anxiousness and worry, I take them to the throne of grace. And I continue to do this. The next thing, Romans 10:17. By the way, if I used that one, that couldn't have been Romans 10. I gave you a wrong handle a while back on that. Must be Romans 8. About if God has given us his son, surely will he not give us all good things? Sorry about that. Anyway, it's in Romans. But Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I'm going through a struggling time, and you know when you're going through a struggling time, you know when you're really being tempted to worry, get into the word. Don't think about it. Well, that would be a nice idea. I ought to get into the Word of God. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Instead of watching TV, go to the Word of God. When you're getting your oil changed, take your Bible along. And I've done this. It's a scripture. Of course, it works. Sit in the waiting room, open up your Bible and read. And by the way, you can't believe the interesting conversations that occur that way. Set yourself as a goal. I'm going to get through the entire Bible before the end of this year. And even if you are as slow a reader as I am, and I doubt that there are very many here that are as slow as I am, you can get through the Word of God before the end of the year. It's just a matter of putting away that clutter that Eric told us about. Get into the Word. It is amazing how it renews your mind. So instead of worry, I pray. Instead of worry, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I get into the Word of God, and it helps my faith. One more spiritual discipline, and Jesus has already taught us here about it. Eric gave it to us 2 weeks ago. Sometimes we get into a worry cycle. See, not, you know, alcohol, drugs, all that, we say, oh, that's addictive. Yes, so is worry. You can be addicted to worry. In fact, there are people, if everything that they are worried about would come, be solved, you know what they would do? They would have to go find something else to worry about, because they do not know how to live life without worrying. It has become that much a part of them. It's sad, but it's true. Maybe that's true about some of us today. And you know, just like when somebody is hysterical and you got to get their attention, maybe the house is burning and they're falling apart, and you know, somebody goes up and they slap them. And they, well, that's really nice, but you slap them and the person who is hysterical says all of a sudden, whoa, it knocks them out of that hysterical cycle. Fasting can be a spiritual slap in your face. You get into a worry cycle, you may need something to really break that cycle fast. Go to the Lord, fasting and prayer, and through this spiritual discipline, allow His grace to come to your life and to break that cycle. Let it be a slap to your face. Let God say to you, this is serious. This has got to stop for your sake and for the sake of being salt and light to your family and to the Coldwater community. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, You are a good God. You are an almighty God. And we're Your children. If You've given us Jesus, we know there is no good thing You will hold back from us. We ask right now that You would help our unbelief. We ask now that not by any human being, but by the Holy Spirit, You would help us to take this, grab our hearts. If we have been sinning and grieving You because of a lack of faith and being anxious, Lord, right now, whatever those things are, we put into Your hands, and we ask You to forgive us of our sin, of anxiety, of worry. We ask that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would enable us to start acting like children of the kingdom as You have called us. Lord, as You give us heavy burdens on our heart, may we take them quickly to Your throne of grace. May we cling to Your word by faith. May we saturate ourselves with it in our minds. Allow Your peace to be in our heart and mind. And Lord, even necessary, may You lead those who need to fasting and prayer to break this cycle in their life in order to have the victory in Jesus Christ. And Lord, some of us are simply overburdened because we have too much. May You give us the courage to get rid of what You would not want us to have in our lives. May we not just think about faith, talk about faith. By Your power, Holy Spirit, enable us to act on faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this together. Amen.